Thursday. Are you hearing Ima Sumac in double? Because you have some ear issue when you whistle. You're not just hearing it once, but you're hearing it like hearing someone it. Is
like
duetting with you.
Accompanying me, whistling the same song as me.
That's our new contest, by the way. Accompany Bill Leff in a whistle-off.
It's a fun time. Yeah, I mentioned downstairs that for the last 2 days, I've got this weird thing that if I whistle, and I do, I whistle a lot. I love to, I'm a fan of the whistle. I like to whistle.
Now, if you start keeping your hands in your pockets and jangling your keys or your change, I'm going to worry about you.
Officially old.
Right. Know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You see a lot of old guys whistling and moving their change.
Yeah, why do you fidget like
change
that?
Around. I don't. I'm not.
I don't have
not
change.
Not there yet, but... yeah, that's something that once I do that, that's the beginning of the end. Then you go, well, now I can die because I'm old and I'm whistling and I'm moving my change around. So the whistling part, but I've always, I mean, even as a kid, I whistled, but now as an adult, I find myself doing it more often. I'm not sure why.
Former producer Kevin Richter used to whistle a lot, and I found that shocking because he's a millennial.
Sometimes he and I would whistle together. We would whistle a duet, and that was lovely. And we won The Voice 3 years ago, he and I, together as a team. Yeah, so, when I do it, I hear myself whistling, but then I also hear what sounds like someone is standing next to me, always to my right, and
well,
they're also whistling at the same exact time as me.
Someone suggested that perhaps it's you're congestified, so you'll have congestion, and it makes sense, because if your head is congested, you're
There's
hearing...
nothing in my head, Wendy, at all. There's nothing in there.
Let's just enjoy that for a minute.
I'm using it as storage space.
I think there's mucus.
I've got some I've got some tax papers in there, some receipts.
But it makes sense if you have an ear infection on your right side, it would clog your ear, so you would be hearing through your left ear, you'd hear yourself whistling like you would every other day, but then it would be muted in your head, so you would hear it two different ways. It's like shrimp two ways at Red Lobster.
Yeah, I could see where you can make that comparison. But wouldn't I feel run down? Wouldn't I feel?
No, you sound a little congested.
Do I?
Congested.
Yeah.
A little nasally. Not a lot, but, you know, sometimes it just gets caught up in there.
And yeah, maybe.
It gets all up in there, and you don't know how to get it out.
So,
Sudafed.
You said Sudafed is the answer. I may try that. Liquid plumber, though. That would be the worst thing for me right now.
No, but I'm asking you on the air because you're weird. I told you there's a Sudafed to get, a particular one, and I said, I may have some, and I found some in my purse, and you will refuse to take it. Why?
I'm afraid there's dog hair on it.
You are so weird. I mean, I just don't understand. It is what it is. It says it on the back.
Yeah.
It's a blister pack. There were four capsules.
I don't
capsules.
Have blisters. That's a separate issue.
How does Terry deal with you? Has she written a manual? Because I'd like to read it.
She takes a lot of side trips. She's away a great deal of the time. I don't know where she goes. She goes, I'll be back in August. All right. I'll see you in August, I guess. I am going to take you up on, you suggested Sudafed Red, which was one of the most dangerous pirates in the 17th century. I'm going to try that at Walgreens after the show. I'm going to go over and get some.
But why wouldn't you take the two I have? It's two tablets every 4 to 6 hours. Because if it doesn't work, why would you waste your money?
I want to wait till late. I want to wait till...
You're off the air in case you get a weird reaction.
Yeah, what if...
All right, well, tell me that. You hurt my feelings when I offer things to help. And you're like...
But you preface it by saying these are really expensive.
Well, they're not really expensive. It's going to be $16 to $20 for a package of it.
But I don't want you to go home and go, that bill... Took all my Sudafed Red. I'm out $300.
I didn't offer you the package. That's going to take up your whole allowance.
I think if you're going to give me some, you should give me enough to get me through this, what could be potentially earth-shaking illness.
No,
Now I do, all of a sudden, since you planted that, like, I have not felt run down at all for 2 days, but since you planted that idea, now, like, I'm laboring to get through every sentence. I'm like, oh, no. I got 8 more words in this sentence. I don't think I can do it.
You have been clearing your throat like a former smoker for the last couple of months. I'm the one who quit smoking, and I haven't been doing that at all.
Right. But I have.
So you got a little something going on.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's settled in your ear. There you go. It's not anything major. You're not going to die from it.
I hope not. I'm so young.
Jeez.
Way too young to have this illness.
So yesterday we talked about Toys R Us closing, and I guess it's not closing.
Well, no.
It is closing, but their discount didn't. I thought that they were starting to liquidate, and then I heard yesterday that they hope to get it liquidated by July, I believe I heard.
Different dates keep coming up, but the huge sale, the liquidation sale that was supposed to be, was it yesterday or the day before? Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't remember.
I heard that it was going to start Thursday, which would have been today. And yesterday I read an article that said that it was starting already.
Well, there were signs on some Toys R Us stores yesterday, not on all, but on some Toys R Us stores saying, I did not. Okay. I saw this online last night and again this morning, saying that the liquidation sale that many were expecting is not happening yet, that it's still coming. They were nonspecific about what date it would start, but it has not started yet. So the huge savings that we were looking forward to are not there yet.
And it will start, I'm sure, if they're going
soon.
Through to July.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it'll start with 10% off,
yeah.
Then 20,
right.
Then 30.
Now, there's a petition online at GoFundMe.com, one of those GoFundMe pages. They're asking people to give money to help resurrect Toys R Us, and I'm here to tell you that the debt that they are in will not be fixed by this. They cannot possibly raise enough money to save this company through a GoFundMe page.
Okay.
It's too deep.
This is too weird, too, because just say they hit their goal. I don't know what the goal is that they're asking for. Does the person who organized the GoFundMe then own Toys R Us? I mean, see what I'm saying?
They would, according to common law, be married to Jeffrey the Giraffe, and together they would share the empire that is Toys R Us.
I hope this person is tall.
But it gives you, like, if you go to the GoFundMe page, it tells you what you get for the money you donate. Now, you'll have to remind me, because I don't understand how some of these things work. Let's say you give money, just a round figure, $500 to this GoFundMe page for Toys R Us. If they don't meet their goal, you get all that money back, don't you? You're not out the money, are you? You can't be.
Jasmine, help me on this. You might need to look it up. I think on GoFundMe, you have to reach your goal or you don't get any money. There are other websites that whatever money you get, and I don't know what it's called, but you get whatever you raise. But with GoFundMe, you have to reach your goal or it's moot. People are refunded on their credit cards or whatever, and the person asking for the money does not get the money.
All right. All right. Well, if you visit GoFundMe page and you click in Toys R Us, here's what they're offering you, the potential new owners of Toys R Us, just for donating money. If you donate between $5 and $49, you get a Save Toys R Us bumper sticker.
Oh, my God. Who cares?
Yeah. If you donate a little bit more, $50 to $99, you get that same bumper sticker. You also get a Save Toys R Us special edition Num Num.
Nom nom. Nom 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 nom.
I'm not sure. Is that... Here's what I think it is, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. Is that little stuffed animal? It looks like Japanimation. Is that what a nom nom is?
I don't even know what it is. Why are you asking? You're the toy expert.
I'm almost positive that's what it is. They're like little beanbag-shaped stuffed animals. Is that right, Jazz? Am I getting the right thing?
And
it says num. It's num nom, right? That's what it's called here.
N-O-M, N-O-M?
N-U-M,
N-O-M.
I have no idea.
Num nom.
Well, the top...
Shaped like George Went. Hey, nom.
Can I just say the top toy executive is pledging hundreds of millions of dollars in an effort to help the Toys R Us through the GoFundMe effort. Isaac Larian, is this who you have? This is the CEO of MGA Entertainment, the company that created Little Tykes and Bratz.
Oh.
So he's behind this.
Wow.
He's contributed $200 million in an effort to get $1 billion goal to save the toy retailer.
That's
so does it have the goal up there, like how much it's planning on getting? I can't find it online. Toys R Us helped launch this.
Here it is. You want to hear what the goal is? It seems realistic. $1 billion.
Yeah. Okay, well, he started it with $200 million already.
Oh, so that's...
It could happen.
It's a fifth of the way there right off the bat.
And then this guy, Isaac Larian, CEO of MGA Entertainment, the company that created Little Tykes, which, oh, my God, how much money did you spend on little kitchens and tree houses, and Bratz, the Bratz dolls.
We spent not a penny on those.
Yeah, me neither.
They look too slutty to me. I didn't like them.
I wanted one for me, but I thought that was weird. Toys R Us helped launch this guy's career more than 30 years ago. There's nothing quite like the joy and awe of a child walking through the aisles of a Toys R Us store. So this man says, I want to preserve that innocent experience for future generations. We can't sit back and just let it disappear. Everyone deserves to be a Toys R Us kid, said Larian.
I want to hug this guy.
We should try and get him on, Jazzy.
Tell him I'm going to hug him over the phone, Jasmine.
We were trying to get him on, not to make him cancel.
Oh, don't tell him I'm going to hug him. I'm going to surprise him.
Larian has invited the public to be a part of an opportunity to hashtag Save Toys R Us by donating to the GoFundMe campaign. It aims to ensure that generations to come can, quote, always be a Toys R Us kid, and to save employee jobs that are at stake that could... that should the company cease operation, but it is ceasing operation. And what do we say, 33,000 jobs yesterday?
Yeah, I think that was the number.
He plans to develop a special program to benefit Toys R Us employees who participate in this campaign. Donations are currently being accepted at GoFundMe, SaveToysRUs.com.
Here's the problem. Let's say you're this guy and you have a lot of money. And, I mean, their goal is $1 billion. He's giving a fifth of that, $200 million. Right off the bat, as they hand you the keys to the empire, you're in bankruptcy. You owe hundreds of millions of dollars to your creditors, so you're responsible for that debt. So even though you've paid for it and you're the king of the realm, you have additional hundreds of millions of dollars that you have to pay to your creditors for the business.
Well, that's why he's asking for $1 billion. Because I don't know what their debt is.
I thought I read that the debt was in the hundreds and hundreds of millions anyway. So I think that billion is only, I think that's for ownership. I don't think that covers the debt. I don't know how it could.
It has to, because if he, I think that would cover.
You think that would make them solvent?
Well, yeah, if it's a couple hundred million and he's asking for $1 billion, he seems to be pretty wealthy to begin with. So he'd, you know, pay off their debt, take over control, and then, you know, he might have to put in a little more money of his own. He put in $200 million. That's crazy.
It's a lot of money. But he's made a lot of money.
Do you have more premiums?
Yeah, there's a bunch more. None of them are...
good?
Well,
date with Jeffrey?
If I had a crazy amount of money, I would be interested. I don't have a crazy amount of money, but none of these incentives to me. All right, so for $100 to $499, you get the bumper sticker that I mentioned. You also get a Save Toys R Us special edition LOL surprise.
It's probably a sticker.
I don't know what that is. $500 to $999. Again, a bumper sticker. In addition to that, you get a pin and a magnet that say Save Toys R Us.
Okay, this is
lying. You also get a customized Toys R Us special edition Little Tykes Cozy Coop. Mm. That's if you give just under a grand. $1,000 to $4,999. Bumper sticker, pin, magnet. I'll always be a Toys R Us kid t-shirt.
Oh, you'd pay a couple thousand for
that. I would pay heavily for that.
They're $5 billion in debt, so this isn't going to help.
Is that all they're in debt? Is $5 million?
I thought $5 billion.
Oh, $5 billion. All right.
God,
$5 billion is serious. So that's what I'm saying. If you get $1 billion and you now own Toys R Us, congratulations. Then your first day at work, you get a note on your desk that goes, hey, "Welcome to the job, but you still owe $5 billion."
See, I didn't know it was $5 billion in debt.
That's what I'm saying.
You said million. If it was $5 million in debt and he gets this GoFundMe $1 billion, then he'd still be coming out ahead. But it's $5 billion. This isn't going to help.
No.
And Toys R Us liquidation sales were delayed. Do we know why? But why?
That's what
we
said at the beginning.
But why? I mean...
No one knows.
I know we said that...
It's mysterious.
Well, that seems weird.
If you give $5,000 to $9,999 and beer on the wall, you get a bumper sticker, pin, a magnet, the t-shirt that I mentioned, and a Little Tyke Super Slam Dunk It set.
The t-shirt's the only thing worth anything.
But not
that kind of money.
You're already between $5,000 and $10,000 down. All right. There's a bunch more. I'll just get to the top level ones.
All right.
If you give...
Hopefully it's good stuff, finally.
$1,000,000 to $9,999,999.
Which you were planning on.
That was the price range I was looking at. $1 million to $10 million. You get a Save Toys R Us bumper sticker, pin, a magnet, the t-shirt, the I'll always be a Toys R Us kid. You get an invite to a local Toys R Us reopening block party. You get a signed thank you letter from Isaac Larian, the CEO of MGA Entertainment. You get the I Help Save Toys R Us Hero plaque. And you also get a Toys R Us... Oh, at a Toys R Us location of your choosing.
These are sucky premiums.
Not for $10 million.
You should get a car with the bumper sticker on it. I yeah. mean, really?
For that much money, right.
A car is $30,000.
Yeah, you get a decent car for $30,000.
If you get $10 million, you should get a car with the Toys R Us bumper sticker on it.
A plaque and a t-shirt and a bumper sticker. For $10 million and above, here's where it gets good, finally.
Let's hear how good.
Toys R Us bumper sticker, Toys R Us pin, Toys R Us magnet, t-shirt that says, I'll always be a Toys R Us kid, the invite that I mentioned to a Toys R Us reopening block party.
Woo!
The signed letter from Isaac Larian.
What's that worth?
Priceless. a kid CEO for a day experience, which includes a trip to Southern California theme park. That includes all the travel and accommodations. That's paid for by Toys R Us.
So what kid has this kind of money?
No kid does. There's no kid that has... How much did I say this was? 100 million?
Over, 10 yes.
million. 10 million plus. You also get a Toys R Us dedication naming right. So you... What does that mean?
So it'll be Bill's Toys R Us?
I guess so.
No.
They wouldn't do that, would they? Toys R Us store dedication naming rights for the location of your choosing. You also get Toys for Life.
Okay, now
from
we're
Toys
talking.
R Us.
Now you're going to do this, aren't you?
That I could make money on this.
You are the only one who could.
I could make out like a bandit on that part of it. Is it? It's, so it's unlimited.
That's what it says.
Although, honestly, for $10 million, you're already there, aren't you? You could for ten. I mean, I spend a lot of money on toys and stuff. But I've you've seen my collection. I've not spent a fraction of $10 million.
Thank God. I mean, really, I don't know what it's worth, Bill, but I mean.
It's not $10 million. Terry always used to say, like in the early days, when people would see my toy collection, they'd go, well, at least, you know, he's not spending it on drugs. And then she said to me, I did the math on it. We'd be better off if you had spent this money on drugs.
That's what I said about.
That's encouraging, isn't it?
That's what I said about Jim. You know, it could have been worse. It could have been drugs and hookers.
Yeah. And is that worse? It's different. It's not necessarily better or worse, right? It's just different.
That's true. That's a good point.
All right. Judy Pilek will be by in a moment. She'll give you the news. And then,
can I just say something? I said they've delayed the sale, and you're like, I know. We said it at the beginning. I know that we did, but I just thought we had wrong information.
No.
I wanted to, when I heard it was actually delayed, I wanted to know what delayed it. I just thought we gave out wrong information.
No,
yesterday.
No, they delayed it.
All right.
But no one will say why.
Yeah.
It's mysterious.
All right.
Judy Pilek. Speaking of mysterious, Judy Pilek will be by and she'll tell you the news. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Not like we're on the East Coast, so let's all be happy.
I know,
those
but
are the
still
headlines.
To even hear a watch is bothersome to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had 4 nor'easters. God, I love saying that. In the East. It's crazy.
Tell me why, because I love hearing it. I love when you
know.
Say it.
But it took me a while to learn it. I kept saying nor'eastern.
No.
It's like a nor'easter, but you get rid of,
But it's a nice bonus when you get it around Easter time.
Yes.
It's even more,
is
even
April
more fun.
1st.
The Easter nor'easter?
Nor'easter's coming.
Will the nor'easter bunny be visiting us?
Nor.
Neither Easter.
Neither nor.
Neither Easter, nor Easter. Ooh, so anyway, we've been pretty lucky.
And, we have been.
It's all going to change.
Yep, soon.
Good
Judy, thank you. We
Absolutely.
Know you can't stay. You're battling down the hatches, getting ready for the nor'easter.
Batting, not battling.
No, Judy's battling down the hatches.
Batting, isn't it? Batting?
Batting down the hatches.
Batting down the hatches. Yes, I'm going to go do that in the newsroom right now. Goodbye.
Right.
See you.
A couple of things about the NCAA tournament. Thing number one, actually, let me save this for last because this is the bigger.
Save the best for last.
Once it gets to the 16, there's adjectives for each. Like it's not just the final 16. What do they call it?
The Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. Once it gets down to 8, it's referred to as
the energy. I can't remember what it is.
The Energized 8.
It is Energized?
No,
it's the Elite 8. Boy, I can't believe I remembered that.
2 for 2. Once it gets down to 4, it's the...
Wendy. 4.
That, I don't
God,
think that's right.
God, I wanted
right.
so badly to just nonchalantly say it.
You would have given Sister Jean a heart attack.
Yeah.
If you would have said that.
The final four.
Final four. And once it gets down to two, it's referred to as?
The Daily Double.
The Daily Double. They don't have one for two. It's just the finals.
Why?
They should definitely have one for two.
Well, they don't need it because the
it speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think if you're going to go through the trouble of doing
Daily Double, is available.
And Trebek would be all over that. Oh, he'd be furious. Right. You don't want to upset Trebek.
There has to be one. We have to think of one and send it.
Terrific Two doesn't quite. I mean, it's close, but it's not big enough. Because you've already had Sweet, you've had Elite, you've had Final.
Sweet, Elite, and Feet. Right.
I don't know.
The Feet, too.
Maybe.
Sweet, Elite, and...
But Final Four sounds like, oh, now this means something. I mean, it started out
Final
Sweet,
Four.
It got specialized with Elite. Final sounds, oh, this is now we're somewhere. But then once you get to two, you got to really...
And it does fizzle.
Right. And it shouldn't, because it should be more exciting at the end, not less exciting. All right. The other bigger story is this. Over at CBS, there's a lot of criticism online and in other places because they like to show at the end of any game, whatever team loses, the fans, of course, are distraught. So they have a knack for showing little kids who are fans of whatever team just lost. You pick your favorite team that just lost. They'll show these kids that look like they're either about to burst into tears or they've already burst into tears. It's very sad because the team that they've come to root for has just been eliminated, and they show a 7-year-old kid just on the verge of
well, that's
a breakdown.
Part of life.
See, I think so too.
I loved watching the Cubby fans cry when they lost. I'm sorry.
That's so awful.
I kind of did. I did, and then I felt bad. I felt bad. But I, for a
not
minute.
Not that bad.
No, the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, look at those cups. And then I felt bad for the whole rest of the time. So I got better.
What were you getting out, when you saw that, what were you getting out of it? What was making you happy when you saw the Cub fans who lost? And this, I mean, let's go back to the last game of last season when they were eliminated by the Dodgers. I don't know if you saw that live, but it was very sad. We had expectations of going to the World Series again.
Yeah, I didn't cry during the first round when they won the World Series because I really got behind the Cubs on that one.
You were very good about
that. Best team in baseball, they deserve to win.
Yeah.
But I did not want the Cubs to win 2 years in a row because that would have just hurt me as a Sox fan to have the Cubs win it 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So that's when I kind of got a little bit of pleasure that the fans were crying. Just for the beginning.
My wife has been next to me during various championships, sometimes involving sports teams from Chicago, but more times than not, it's not always the case. So sometimes it's a basketball game or a hockey game or a baseball game or a football game, and they invariably show the team, whatever team wins, you get a lot of shots of them jumping up and down and hugging each other, and it's madness. But then they also show the other team sitting in the dugout or on the bench, just kind of staring straight ahead, going, boy, we came close, but we didn't win, and who knows if we'll ever have a chance to win. Sometimes there's tears. But
that's
just,
the story. That's the winners and losers.
That's it. That's what you have to show. It's the job of the network broadcasting the game, the final, to tell the story, and part of the story is the thrill of victory, but the other side is the agony of defeat.
You know, when they show that, I'll never forget that Wide World of Sports, when they show the ski jumper wiping out, you're like, oh, that's horrible, but that, there's good, there's bad, there's winners, there's losers.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. So I think you're doing a disservice if you don't show the sadness of both. Now, here's where they get into this, because it's one thing to show the players and the coaches on the losing side being distraught over the fact that they didn't win. But they're saying that the network, in this case CBS and also TNT, because some of the games are on TNT, that they're exploiting these kids.
No, they're not.
I don't think they are.
What are kids doing at the game anyway?
You don't think kids should be in basketball games? Kids have no idea what basketball is. Keep them out of the game.
Well, is there like a group of kids watching or like a kid with their family?
And they're just
focusing in on the kid.
Well, they show the kid because the kid is more kind of it's more telling to see an 8-year-old kid just bursting into tears because Villanova lost.
Yeah, but you see those. See, that's it's not odd to me to see an 8-year-old kid cry. It's
no, but
worse to see an adult cry.
But you know how like an adult would be a little more guarded in that moment, like, oh, I'm so sad, but I'm an adult, so I can't really let my emotions play out. I have to
unless you're a Cubs fan.
Unless you're a Cubs fan, then you can.
Then you cry.
But all right. Now, I cried when they won. I mean, I'm emotional. I cried when they won. I cried when the White Sox won last time. But what the picture they want to show you is your sad fan whose
heart is broken.
Yeah, they're destroyed because the team that they thought would go all the way is now no longer a factor. They're out of it. They're done. So let's show a 9-year-old kid who's, you know, just this, you know, beautifully faced little, oh boy, we're here, we're in the finals, and then it comes crashing down.
But that shows you that there's a kid in all of us whose heart is broken. So they're not to be, you know, against kids or make fun of kids.
Right.
They're just showing that there's always that little kid in our hearts that is broken right now.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I don't think CBS should be getting any issues or whoever did it.
I don't think so, but so many people are on.
God.
So many people are clamping down going, this is just exploitative to show these cute little kids so sad. It's such an awful.
What the heck is happening to this country?
Everyone's sad. The opening weekend of the 2018 NCAA tournament was high on drama. Fans across the country reveled in the chaos. There were upsets, there were buzzer beaters, elation, and heartbreak. There were, for those of us watching on television, also distraught kids bawling over their team's misfortune. This is all from Yahoo Sports. Henry Bushnell writes this on Yahoo Sports. Then they show a picture of this one kid who was a Cincinnati fan as his team got crushed. Nevada was down. Now, it doesn't say this in the story. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I think Nevada was down by 22 points at some point in the game. And at that time, you say to yourself, well, it's not meant to be. Cincinnati's going to take this game, and then Nevada just came thundering back, and they won in the last few seconds.
Love that stuff.
So then they show this kid that they refer to as the Cincinnati kid. They show him, his head is down. He looks like he's going to throw up. He just is so, I mean, all the wind has been taken out of this kid, and that was the first time that people go, all right, enough is enough. This kid looks like he's going to just die. You can't show this kid on television. Many fans have criticized CBS and Turner Sports for their use of what they called the crying kid shots, calling them lazy, calling them cruel and exploitative, and I quote, the cheapest way to convey drama. Is this the cheapest way to convey drama? It's real.
It is real and raw, and that's what sports is all about.
That's it.
Winners and losers.
That's it.
Victors and
non-victors.
Yeah. Victors and vectors.
Victors and vectors. The clips from the TV broadcast spread across social media and the internet. That's true. If one of the networks shows a kid like this Cincinnati kid, he's all over the internet, you know, minutes later as, you know, the embodiment of failure. They turn the kids and their tears into the faces of a team's anguish. Agreed. CBS executive producer Harold Bryant, however, defended the network showing of crying kids in a conversation with Yahoo Sports. Here's what he says. It's part of the drama and the storytelling of the tournament. Essentially what you and I said. Almost exactly, word for word. Speaking on behalf of both CBS and Turner, he says, it's part of the emotion. We try to capture the emotion. We try to strike that right balance. This was Brian's.
You have to show the fans who won, and then there are half the people who are upset that
right.
team won. So you're showing both sides.
Right. You can't not
show. You're documenting
that.
The event.
All right. So most people who would agree with it would say, okay, but if you're going to do that, then show grown-ups. Show people who have been around the block a couple times. Don't be showing some little kid. But I think
you got to show tears. If you just show, you know, an adult like whipping their baseball cap off,
right.
that would be okay, I guess, because there's some emotion there. But you need to show emotion. You can't just show people on the
right.
screen that aren't
right.
cheering.
Right. Now, let me make a quick side argument, if I may. Last week on Thursday, you weren't in. Harry Tyner was filled in for you, and we had on the now famous Sister Jean. She
was
the biggest Loyola Ramblers fan in the history of Loyola Ramblers
and the team
basketball.
Chaplain, correct?
The team chaplain. She's 98 years old. She's fantastic.
God,
and I said
her.
To her, I noticed, Sister Jean, that in the waning moments of a game, in basketball, and you name the sport, this is what you see. They show the crowd, and all of a sudden, everyone's religious. You see so many people praying. Everybody's hands are clenched in prayer. You know, it's right down to the last second or two of the game. And everybody, people that all throughout the game were not religious at all, and I don't know about the rest of their life. I only know what I'm seeing on TV. They're showing no signs of religion at all. But in the end, they're asking God and baby Jesus and Moses and Noah, please, please let him make this shot. Please let him make the shot. And I said, I don't know if that's fair. And I also told her that she probably has some sort of a pipeline that if anyone's going to pray in the end, I got to think she gets an express line pass.
And God's busy with, like, important things.
He doesn't care if Duke wins or loses.
I know.
God's not up there going, boy, what a run Gonzaga has had. Enough of this nonsense. I got to fix this toot sweet. God's not saying that. But do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You see that? To me, that you could say that, well, that now that's taking advantage. You're showing all these people in a very vulnerable moment finding religion. You can make that argument.
This is depicting what sports is all about. Winners and losers.
Right, and the fine line between the two.
Yes.
Right?
And the emotion that goes with winning, the emotion that goes... There's absolutely nothing wrong.
I know.
And again, I still... The CBS people or whomever can use my thing, my quote, where it's like, that's the little kid in all of us that has become broken because that means so much more to a kid.
I so totally agree. These are... Really, when you break this down... You play basketball, you play baseball, you play hockey because it's a sport. It's the kind of thing we all grew up with. So who better to represent that than kids? That's perfect, right?
Yep.
When asked about the specific criticism that showing kids is a cheap or lazy way to convey drama, Bryant, again, this is Harold Bryant, who is an executive producer of CBS Sports, said, again, we try to strike a balance. We show happy kids. We show sad kids. Kids who climb on rocks.
Short kids, fat kids.
They couldn't do the sissy kids anymore.
That
would be offensive. We show happy adults. We show players that are happy. We show players that are sad. Crying on the... This is sounding like Goodnight Moon.
Yeah, it totally does.
Crying on the benches or on the floor. We do our best. You know, the one that affects me more... Every once in a while, you'll see a player with tears in his eyes. But the one that affects me the most is the guy who's just staring straight ahead. He's like in some
blank.
Weird, there's some zone that he's in where the reality is it's right there in front. You came this close to winning, but you did not win. Those guys won, and you can't you can't jump around and hug anybody because you didn't win. And they just show that player, you picked the sport, just staring straight ahead like, oh, could have been me.
It's just, the one word to describe that photograph would be disbelief.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so hard.
That is hard to look at.
Because you say to yourself, most athletes, now in these games, in the college games, they're 19 or 20 years old. But with the other guys, you say to yourself, all right, I've played my whole life for this moment. The reason I went all through the minor leagues, I played in high school and college was to get to this moment. I may never get here again. I came so close to getting it. Who knows if I'll have the chance. So all that is in that blank stare.
Yeah.
It's all swirling around.
It says everything,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. Speaking of sports, Sports Central, just around the corner.
Is Adam Hogue back yet?
I don't know that Adam Hogue is back yet. Is he?
No.
No?
I didn't see him.
No? No? All right.
Kevin Powell.
Les Grobstein with Sports Central.
I'd be fine with that. I love Les.
Not instead of.
Oh, no.
Along with. All right. We'll find out who's got Sports Central. That's coming up in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.